But anyway, I wanted to get into the message this morning. And anybody know where we're going? Where? Oh. Is there a book called Patience? No, I'm just kidding. We are talking about patience, but we're going to the book of Galatians. Actually, your book should just fall open to Galatians chapter 5, because we're going to be there for a while. Yeah, right? So we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit, right? And turn to me to, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. I love the Amplified translation. So if you don't have an Amplified translation, just listen and just follow. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, the results of his presence within us, some of you know the presence of God is within you, the Holy Spirit, right? Is love, unselfish concerns for others, joy. I love that, joy. Reminds me of our granddaughter, joy. Inner peace, patience, not the ability to wait, but how we act while we're waiting. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Declare this after me. I believe this is the word of God. I believe it's for me. I accept it as mine. I hide it in my heart. And I will appropriate it in my life today. And all God's glorious people say, amen and amen. So I just want to repeat that phrase. Patience is not the ability to wait, right, when we're waiting, but how we act while we are having to wait. And I was thinking about this particular thing about patience, the ability to wait, not the ability to wait, but how we act while we're waiting, right? The fruit of patience deals more with the inner attitude of one's heart rather than the physical exterior of a person, right? But let's watch this video. We have a short video on waiting, and then we'll jump back into the word, okay? For the video, thanks.
Can't see now, 'cause Lord, when I wait, well, it ain't about me now. I just can't wait. My need is too large. Lord, when I wait, I just gotta take charge.
Thank you for calling God. If you wish to offer up a prayer of thanksgiving, please press
1.
There is currently
no
wait. If you wish to intercede on behalf of a friend or loved one, please press
2.
There is currently a
4-minute
wait. If you wish to offer God advice, please press
3.
There is currently a
lifetime
wait. If you wish to learn a complex theological concept just so you can impress your friends and feel really smart, please
hang up
and check your attitude. If you wish to learn patience, please
stay on the line.
If you wish to grow in your relationship with God or to simply enjoy His presence, please disregard this menu completely.
Hang up
and wait.
Lord, I will wait for what your love brings. 'Cause when I wait, you give me wings.
funny, but true, right? Having to wait, right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for what you have for us this morning. Father, we open our hearts to receive, Father, of you. Father God, we thank you that you are teaching us life's lessons, Father, on waiting on you, Father. And patience is the key element in order for us to do that. So we thank you, Lord, that patience is already in us. We just have to allow the Holy Spirit to develop and cultivate that fruit of patience within our hearts and lives. We thank you in Jesus' name, and everybody say amen. Amen and amen. Now, the Holy Spirit is God, right? He's God, the Holy Spirit. We talked about it this past Wednesday. You know, we talked about the Trinity of God, God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is God. He's omnipresence, right? He's omniscience, and he's omnipotent. He's all-powerful, he's all-knowing, and he's everywhere at the same time because he's God. Amen. But he's also diverse, or he is multitask, and he plays many important roles in the life of believers. Amen. In fact, you can do a word. You can do a study of the operations and the functions or the workings of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, and you'll be amazed of all the different things that he does in your life. But in this series, we've been talking about the Spirit-filled life, right? Particularly about the good fruits that God wants to produce and bear in us as believers. And he does that as we yield to the Holy Spirit's inner workings, right, within us. And if we allow him to do so, he'll produce and he'll develop these wonderful kingdom fruits within our lives. Amen. So I want to entitle this morning's message, Being Consistently Constant. Being Consistently Constant. Now, the fruit of patience, it's a fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of patience is one of the fruits most of us would want to kind of like pass on, kind of like skip over, right? But it's the one fruit that is needful for each and every one of us, right? I looked up in the Noah Webster 1882 dictionary, and it defines patience as the sufferings of afflictions, pain, toil, calamity, or other evil with calm, unruffled temper. Does that describe you? Or the ability to sit back and wait for an expected outcome without experiencing anxiety, tensions, or frustrations. Moms, does that speak of you? Or we can say patience is the ability to remain calm in the midst of trouble or strife because you know that God is in control. I came across this story about a young father who came to this minister and said, "Sir, I need God's help to be patient with my wife, with my kids, and with the people I work with. Could you please pray for me for patience?" So the minister started this way. He said, "Dear Lord, please bring this young man through many different situations, trials, troubles, and tribulations into this man's life." The young man yelled, "Stop! I want patience, not more stress," right? How many of you ever prayed that? And God accommodated us, right? Patience is the Hebrew word makrotumia. It is literally translated long suffering and slow to anger. Makrotumia is suffering for a long time without no complaints. Here's the thing. If this is not operating in your life, don't worry about it. This is what God wants to develop in our lives. If it's not there, or it's in the workings, right? So don't get all, you know, frazzled and say, man, you know, it's not working. This is why the Holy Spirit, this is one of the roles of the Holy Spirit in our lives, is to develop and cultivate these fruits, such as patience within us. Because patience is something in our human nature that we're not. Our human nature that we are not. And that's why it has to be developed or produced within our divine nature upon being born again anew, right? In Christ. When we became born again, right? The Holy Spirit came in. He brought in this gift, but it has to be cultivated and developed in us, right? Amen. How many of you know God is patient and long-suffering and slow to anger? All you got to do is just look in the mirror. How he has been, right? Slow to anger and patient, long-suffering with us, right? Some of us, it took many years for us to come to salvation to him. But he's been calling us. And we've been putting it off, and then finally we made the decision, you know what? I'll come to Christ. Aren't you glad that God didn't say, you know what? You're done with it. I'm going to move on to somebody else. He's long-suffering. Amen. And he's patient. If you think about it, most people are not very patient. Amen. Some people may have more tolerance than others. But usually the natural human patience is probably short fuse and it's limited, right? It's limited. It's short fused. Because we know there's going to be a situation or a circumstance or some unforeseen occurrence that's going to happen or some person, right, that will literally wear your patience thin. Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Everybody's all good. You guys look all holy to me. Like, we don't know what you're talking about, Pastor. The thing is, we've all been there, right? We've all been there. We've all experienced that. Some of us got the T-shirt to prove it, right? I came across this survey was taken in comparing men and women's ability to be patient. And it was interesting. To be patient as they stood in line waiting. There was a survey that was taken pertaining to men and women, their ability to stand in line and be patient. Because what? We wait at the doctors, right? We wait in traffic, right? We wait in the grocery stores, we wait at the restaurants. We even wait on God, right? Sometimes God will say yes, and sometimes he'll say no, but sometimes he'll say wait. A lot of us can deal with yes or no, but we have a hard time dealing with wait because it incurs patience. Amen. Patience that we don't have much of, and he wants to develop in our lives. So this survey that was taken among men and women, their ability to be patient, unfortunately, guys, it took the men 15 minutes where they would get annoyed or agitated while they were waiting in line for whatever reason. But it took the women 18 minutes before they would start to get annoyed. 3 minutes, a little bit more, you know. But needless to say, there was a limit to their waiting or patience where they begin to get frustrated and annoyed of waiting. Some of our prayers are like, dear God, please help me or please give me patience. Amen. And I need it what? I need it now. Right now. Amen. When you're dealing with that little girl or that boy or whoever, you know, as a parent or a grandparent, you know. Amen. Especially if her name is Joy. Because it speaks volumes, you know, of what her life would be and what it would reflect. She would bring joy to us. That was the word of the Lord. And there are times to where, you know, it's like, God, I mean, hey, patience. We're dealing with you, patience. She will bring you joy, but I'm dealing with you with patience. True story. It is. Because by the time her eyes open up in the morning, she's on go. Full speed go. And she doesn't drink coffee. Her grandmother got to drink coffee, so stay up with her. I think more. How much is it? Two cups? No, more. It's increased. Because I hear that coffee pop. And look, what? Another one? Yeah, we praise things like that. You know, God, give me patience. I need it now. Particularly in a society where most people are drawn to a type A personality, right? What is a type A personality? The one who's aggressive. The one who takes charge, who takes the bull by the horn, right? Attitude. Because they're the ones who get things done, sort of. But, you know, to some degree, that's good. But on the flip side of that kind of personality, right, the fact is they're usually not patient with others if they're go-getters. Amen. Right? If they're that type of personality, it's like somebody who's not, you know, aggressive. It's like, hey, I'm leaving you behind the dust. I'm going. So they're not really patient with others. You know, how many of you know God does not just wave a magic wand over our heads and Shazam? You're patient. Amen. He doesn't do that. He doesn't, God does not operate that way. You see, God is more interested in us not being comfortable to where we're not even, it's not a convenience for us, because God knows patience has to be developed. Everybody say, it has to be developed. And because it has to be developed, it only happens when we are disciplined. Disciplined to exercise patience as we yield our lives to the Holy Spirit, who is indicating to us, right, that our present situation, whether if we're waiting in traffic or we're waiting where your hyperactive child, right, that you love, ask you for the 150th time the same question about that particular thing or situation, right? Or if you are in a rush and you're waiting in line at McDonald's and some guy decides to pay in coins. Who does that, right? Pay in coins in the time we live in. But here, this is what you have to think about. Be aware. Because God is setting you up for a crash course of long-suffering 101. Amen. Everybody say, I need patience. And I need it now. Church, always remember that our present situation, whatever it may be, is a prime place to exercise patience. Amen. I remember one of our trips to Pittsburgh. I forget, we, you know, which one, but we left Maui to LA, had a layover there for 2 hours. So they told us that we could exit the plane and we could go, you know, in the airport and do whatever we want, and then reboard the plane after 2 hours. So we went to one of the restaurants, was there, got a bite to eat. So we're sitting down having something to eat, you know, taking our time, and we look at the time, you know, it's getting close. And there was a husband and wife that was close to us, not close, but kind of far away, and they had a little toddler. You know, we love kids. But he had this real weird cry. Kind of irritating cry. So we kind of looked at each other. We started joking. It says, boy, wouldn't it be funny if they were sitting right next to us in the plane? How many of you can have what you say, what your words? So we go back board in the plane, getting ready to sit down. We have our assigned seats. And lo and behold, they're sitting right in front of us, in the front aisle, right in front of us. So we figure, well, it's going to be good. It wasn't. The little boy cried throughout the whole flight. And I think I was more frustrated because the mom did not do anything. And the dad was like, you know, this is all you. One of those dads. This is your job to raise this kid. So I'm not even involved. And isn't that true? Oh, yeah, he had headsets on. And we were right behind. And all the people on next to us, everybody was turned this way, away from whatever was going on. I mean, they were like trying to lean away from what was going on. And by the time we got through with the flight, everybody was like zombies. From, you know, just hearing the boy cry throughout the whole flight. Amen. Everybody say patience. Easy to say, but much more hard to do. Amen. And God will accommodate us and provide scenarios for that to be developed in our lives. Amen. 101, long suffering. Church, I promise you, if you pray for patience, God will accommodate you. And what he'll do is he'll give you people, he'll put you in places, even within your own household, your family. Amen. Your family members, that you can get plenty of practice time in developing our patience. Everybody just look here. Don't look at your neighbors. Just smile. A man's car got stalled in heavy traffic just as the light turned green. All of his effort in trying to fix the problem failed miserably. You ever been there? I have. You know, you're making the turn and all of a sudden you cause the jerking and you spring, Lord, just get me to the other side, man. I don't want to be stuck right in the traffic, right? It's embarrassing, right? But this guy gets stalled in the traffic. And he tries to fix his car, but he fails miserably. And a whole slew of honking car horns behind him begins to start, right? And it only makes things much worse. He finally walks back to the first driver behind him and says, "Hey, I'm sorry, but I can't seem to get my car started. If you will go up there and give it a try, I'll stay here and honk your car for you." Everybody say patience. And I need it now. You see, our lives here on earth is our spiritual boot camp. And what we're going through here is all preparation for the perfection when we get to heaven. This is all perfect. We're all being trained here, right? For preparation for the perfection which is in heaven. It's training us how we will live in heaven. You know, for those of you who were in the military, you understand that boot camp was it was tough, and it was a rough experience, right? For those of you who were in the military. But then you later understood it was needful in saving not only your life, but the saving of others' life, right? Amen. Christian speaker and author, Joni Erickson Tada. You guys ever heard of her? Yes. Yeah, at a young age, she had a diving accident and nearly broke her neck and was quadriplegic. But became a Christian, but now she's a speaker and author. And she writes, "Christians, do you understand you are in boot camp of the army of the Lord? What you are going through at this current time is because you are in the potter's hands." Turn to the person next to you and say, "Stay on the wheel." You are in the potter's hands and you're in the refiner's furnace. Things feel like it's heating up and the pressure's on. Because God's making you into the image of His Son if you allow Him to. See, God is shaping you. You know, God is endeavoring by the Spirit of God to develop you. You know, on this life and this journey as believers, there is a goal that God has in mind. And that's to bring you and make you more into the image of his Son. Right? The more He wants to increase in our lives Himself, so that we will decrease in ourselves and elevate Himself so that we'll be more like Him. And that's the process of God, right? Whether we're on the potter's wheel or we are in the furnace of the fire, that is what God is endeavoring to do in our lives. Amen. Everybody say increase.
Increase.
Amen. So if we find ourselves having to wait for whatever the reason, right? Recognize that this could be God's perfect opportune time to train ourselves to wait on the Lord. I think, Lambert, did you mention that this morning? Something about waiting on the Lord? Yeah, to wait on the Lord. But it's not an idle wait where we just sit around and waiting. But it's an active wait, right? We're praying, we're seeking God, we're actively involved in our relationship, but we're waiting on God for the promise. You know, whether it's a physical challenge that you're going through, right? And you're having to wait for that promise to manifest in your life, right? It's a process of waiting. But it's an active waiting. It's not an idle waiting of just sitting around and doing nothing. Amen. Psalms 27, verse 14, reading from the New Living Translation. It says to wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. Isaiah 40, verse 31. I'm reading from the Amplified Translation. It says, but those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in Him, what will happen? Will gain new strength and renew their power. Amen. They will lift up their wings and rise up close to God, like eagles rising towards the sun. They will run and not become weary. They shall walk and not grow tired. I think I might have shared this, but I think it's the right time to share it again. When the eagles become older, they begin to lose their ability to see. You know, an eagle can see a rabbit up to 3 miles. But when he begins to get older, there's a film that begins to grow, sort of like cataracts with the humans, begins to grow around their eyes, and they begin to not see as clearly as before. And what the eagle does is he flies straight to the sun. He goes straight for the sun, and he starts flying straight to the sun and going closer and closer to the sun as much as he can. And what happens is the heat from the sun begins to disintegrate that film around his eyes or her eyes, and begins to fade away to where he can see perfectly again. Amen. Isn't that amazing? That God inbuilt that within an eagle to know to do that. Amen. Patience is the endurance without murmuring or without complaining. Patience with God is the ability to trust and to wait on Him in the seasons of difficulties. So to be patient, to be a patient child of God, because, you know, we understand that God's delay is not God's denial. He's just telling us to wait. The timing might not be the right time, right? God is not too early. He's not too late, right? But He's always on time. But there are times that He'll say, wait. And I think that's the challenge for each and every one of us, is having to wait. Amen. You know, in 1 Samuel chapter 13, I just want to give you an illustration of an account where a person's lack of patience. A person's lack of patience, which is what? Impatience. Or being impatient will always lead to a costly mistake. It always does. When we're impatient. And we'll read this account where impatience caused Saul, who was the king of Israel, his kingship. So if we start with verse 8 in 1 Samuel chapter 13, you can read the whole thing, I mean, but we want to, for time's sake. Verse 8, it says, Saul waited there 7 days for Samuel, as Samuel had instructed him earlier. And you can find that in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 7. Where Samuel tells Saul, go to Gilgal, and I'll meet you there in 7 days. And he instructs Saul to go to Gilgal and wait there for him 7 days. Don't do anything, and I'll give you further instructions in that 7 day. Because Saul was anointed king of Israel, and Samuel the prophet was giving him instructions of what to do. You know, you're going to meet these guys, and all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord is going to come upon you. You're going to be prophesying, and these three guys are going to come, and they're going to bring bread to you. So here, Samuel, the prophet, is operating in word of knowledge and telling Saul all these things that will occur. And then I want you to go to Gilgal. Go there. In 7 days, I will meet you there. So this is what Saul is. Saul is waiting there 7 days for Samuel. But Samuel still did not come. Saul realized that his troops were rapidly slipping away. So he demanded, bring me the burnt offerings and the peace offerings. And Saul sacrificed the burnt offerings himself. What happened was there was a large army of Philistines that came to war with Israel. Jonathan, Saul's son, took 1,000 men and they attacked a post of the Philistines and they conquered it. And in retaliation, the Philistines unleashed their army. I mean, it was a massive army. So Saul had 2,000 soldiers with him, and Jonathan had only 1,000 with them. That's 3,000, right? And here you have this, they had 30,000 chariots. They had 6,000 soldiers. They had all these different, I mean, it was a huge army. They were outnumbered. Amen. So Saul is under all this pressure. Guys were scattering. In fact, they were fleeing to other countries. They were hiding in caves because of this mass army, the enemy. See, the enemy will always try to come and intimidate us. That is instill fear and intimidation. And this is where they were. So just as, in verse 10, just as Saul was finishing with the burnt offering, guess what happens? Samuel arrives. And Saul went out to meet him and welcome him. But Samuel said, what is this you have done? Saul replied, I saw my men scattering from me, and you didn't arrive when you said you would. And the Philistines are at Michmash, ready for battle. So I said, the Philistines are ready to march against us at Gilgal, and I haven't even asked for the Lord's help. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering myself before you came. Impatience. Amen. So what is the lesson we can learn from Saul's impatience? Are you in a waiting period? You know, when you pray something, right? You pray whatever it is, and then there's the amen, and there it is. But there is a place from the time you pray and the time you say amen, there's a place where we call the in-between. While you're waiting for the manifestation to take place, that's the waiting period. Amen. What are you doing in that waiting period? From the time you pray your prayer of believing God and the amen, so be it. There it is. This in-between, this waiting period. And that's what I mean by that waiting period. And we've all been in that waiting period. And some of you might even be in that waiting period right now. Or are you faced with an overwhelming problem? Just as the Israelites were overwhelmed by this huge Philistine army. Amen. Causing your anxiety and stress levels to rise. See, the lesson to be learned is in a time of waiting, when you're waiting, you're in that in-between, it is not the time to be impatient. Amen. It's not the time to be impatient or get ahead of God. The solution to any crisis or any life-changing alteration in your life is not to make some rash, foolish action without first consulting and waiting to hear from God. Amen. Whenever you're having to make a decision, always take the time to read your word and to hear from God, or seek godly advice from people that you trust spiritually. Amen. See, we don't want to make the same mistake as Saul did, because our choices have consequences. Amen. And impatience will always lead in making mistakes. And some of those mistakes are crucial, and some of them may not be, but still, it's still a mistake, right? See, Saul was under pressure to perform, because his troop was just scattering. So he thought he needed to do something. But what he failed to realize was they needed God's help in order to win the victory. So despite of his men scattering, God would be his defense, whether he stood alone. Amen. You guys listen, you guys learning something this morning? You see, when the pressures of life is weighing heavy on you, right? Take that pressure, take that problem, and turn it over to God. How? By casting all your cares on Him, because He cares for you. Say, God, I just cast all these cares to you. I release it to you, that I can live a carefree life, a life free from all cares, because now I'm putting it on you, just as your word says. That's what I mean to turn it over to God. Amen. And when you turn it over to God and you cast it all on Him, leave it there and trust God, right? Trust Him to guide you and to rescue you to what may be a hopeless situation. Amen. One of my favorite scriptures, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Some of us can quote it, but we need to get it from our heads into our hearts, right? It says to trust in the Lord with what? With all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. You know, that word lean is, you're putting weight on something or someone when you're leaning, right? And what he's saying is lean and put all your weight and confidence and trust in God. Not on yourself, not in somebody, not in some organization, not in anything else, but lean on me. Put your weight on me. Put that pressure on me, you know? And not unto your own understanding of what you should do or who you should say or how to do it. No, lean on Him. But in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Just like how we were acknowledging the Lord this morning, that He is Jehovah Rapha, our healer, right? He is Jehovah Shammah, the God who is ever present. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider, right? He is Jehovah Nisi, our banner of victory, right? He is Jehovah Tsidkenu, our righteousness, right? We learned this past Wednesday, all the names of God. We're learning to know who God is through His different names, and that's how He reveals Himself, through His character. He's God of love. Yes, He is. He's a God of mercy. He's holy. He's all-powerful. And that's who we're putting our trust in. We're putting our trust in His ability and His capability. Obviously, our ability and capability is limited. Amen. And if we acknowledge Him continuously, God, I thank You that You are my supply, that You supply every need, right? You are my healer. What you're doing, you're acknowledging Him, right? And He shall direct your steps. Amen. Just as patience is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, right? The nature of Christ. Impatience is a fruit of disobedience from the nature of the flesh. Notice that our patience in times of trouble, right? Let me repeat that. Notice that our patience in times of trouble oftentimes reveals the degree of trust and confidence that we have in God. It does. That we're waiting, we're willing to wait because our confidence is in Him. And while we're waiting, we're saying, God, I trust You. I trust You with my life. I might not understand all that is going on with my life and whatever else, my relationships. But all I know is I'm here and I'm trusting You. And I'm not going to do anything and I'm not going to move until I hear You. Other than that, You can't get rid of me, God. Amen. And that's what God wants when He develops patience within our lives. Let me repeat that. Our patience in time of trouble oftentimes reveals the degree of trust and confidence that we have in God. The fruit of patience is to persevere under difficult circumstances. We don't need patience when everything is all good, right? And easy, and everything's going well, and everybody's singing Kumbaya, and you know, we don't need patience in those times. Romans chapter 8, verse 25. I'm trying to close this thing. Romans chapter 8, verse 25. It says, but if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Amen. But if we hope or our confident expectation, right? That word hope means a confident expectation, a favorable and confident expectation. But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Amen. You see, patience is the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's a supernatural trait of the Spirit of God. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit to endure suffering without complaining. It's the ability to control your emotions when you're being criticized or somebody is falsely blaming you for something. You can hold your tongue, which is hard to do. Some of us get hung by the tongue, right? Our tongue is our greatest enemy, but patience will help you to control your tongue. Always having to have the last word. And when I have the last word, I'm going to drive that dagger in and twist it and make it hurt. Does that make sense? Yeah. Patience allows you not to do that. Especially when you've been criticized and somebody's blaming you for something. It's the ability to manifest wisdom in a tense situation. It's waiting for God's perfect time without complaining. And if you look at the nation of Israel, right, from the time that God delivered them out of Egypt to Moses, the deliverer, the very reason why they did not enter into the promised land is because they complained. They complain about, you know, God, the land is perfect. Just as you said, a land flowing with milk and honey. I mean, check out the grapes. They're the size of basketballs. But, but there's giants in the land, God, as if God did not know that it was your job to go after the enemy. My job is to provide you for the promised land. And because they refuse to enter into the promise, because you refuse to believe the word, never murmur about what God says he has done. Amen. And what happened is they murmured, they complained about their prison situation. And they suffered having to go walking around the desert for 40 years. Amen. And never entered into the promise. God says, you know what? All this unbelief, you guys are going to walk all these things, walk it out and travel around this desert for 40 years, and I'm going to eliminate all of this disbelief and unbelief, and I'm going to start with the new generation. Because when I bring in the new generation, there's not going to be any unbelief going into this promised land. Amen. Everybody say patience. Amen. Patience is a good thing. Amen. And it's supernatural from the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. I'm going to close here. Repeat this after me. Thank you, Lord, for being patient with me. Help me to reflect your patience in others. Holy Spirit, help me daily to manifest the fruit of patience that you are producing within our lives. Give me the grace to be patient. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Did you learn something this morning? Hallelujah. Are we going to be people of patience? Amen. Like I said, God will accommodate us and put us in situations with people, with circumstances. And the thing is, we got to have our spiritual eyes in tune, because we got to recognize, hey, I see the setup. You know, how many of you know God has good setups for us, for blessings? Well, this is a blessing as well, because this is one of the ways that he works in developing patience within us, right? By us having to walk it out on a daily basis. See, God doesn't make trials happen, but he allows the trials to happen. Because they say, oh, let me test this guy. Let me test this sister. And set up and orchestrate a scenario for that to occur. Amen. So whether it's at your workplace or a family member, in the household, you know, where there's a lot of contention sometimes, you know. Yeah, it's a place for patience to develop. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.